The Twins' Paradox. In the theory of relativity, each observer has their own measure of time. This can lead to the so-called Twins' Paradox. One of a pair of twins leaves on a space journey during which he travels close to the speed of light, while his brother remains on Earth. Because of his motion, time runs more slowly in the spacecraft as seen by the Earthbound twin. So on his return, the space traveller will find that his brother has aged more than himself. Although it seems against common sense, a number of experiments have implied that in this scenario, the travelling twin would indeed be younger. A spaceship passes Earth from left to right at 4/5 the speed of light. A pulse of light is emitted at one end of the cabin and reflected at the other end. The light is observed by people on Earth and on the spaceship. Because of the motion of the spaceship, they will disagree about the distance the light has travelled in reflecting back. They must therefore also disagree about the time the light has taken, according to Einstein's postulate that the speed of light is the same for all freely moving observers. Einstein's postulate that the laws of nature should appear the same to all freely moving observers was the foundation of the theory of relativity, so called because it implied that only relative motion was important. Its beauty and simplicity convinced many thinkers, but there remained a lot of opposition. Einstein had overthrown two of the absolutes of 19th century science: absolute rest, as represented by the ether, and absolute or universal time, which all clocks would measure. Many people found this an unsettling concept. Did it imply, they asked, that everything was relative? That there were no absolute moral standards? This unease continued throughout the 1920s and 1930s. When Einstein was awarded the Nobel Prize in 1921, the citation was for important but, by his standard, comparatively minor work also carried out in 1905. It made no mention of relativity, which was considered too controversial. I still get two or three letters a week telling me Einstein was wrong. Nevertheless, the theory of relativity is now completely accepted by the scientific community, and its predictions have been verified in countless applications. A very important consequence of relativity is the relation between mass and energy. Einstein's postulate that the speed of light should appear the same to everyone implied that nothing could be moving faster than light. What happens is that as one uses energy to accelerate anything, whether a particle or a spaceship, its mass increases, making it harder to accelerate it further. To accelerate a particle to the speed of light would be impossible, because it would take an infinite amount of energy. Mass and energy are equivalent, as is summed up in Einstein's famous equation, E equals mc squared. This is probably the only equation in physics to have recognition on the street. Among its consequences was the realization that if the nucleus of a uranium atom fissions into two nuclei with slightly less total mass, this will release a tremendous amount of energy. In 1939, as the prospect of another world war loomed, a group of scientists who realized these implications persuaded Einstein to overcome his pacifist scruples and add his authority to a letter to President Roosevelt, urging the United States to start a program of nuclear research. This led to the Manhattan Project, and ultimately to the bombs that exploded over Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. Some people have blamed the atom bomb on Einstein, because he discovered the relationship between mass and energy. But that's like blaming Newton for causing airplanes to crash, because he discovered gravity. Einstein himself took no part in the Manhattan Project and was horrified by the dropping of the bomb. Einstein's prophetic letter to President Roosevelt in 1939. In the course of the last 4 months, it has been made probable, through the work of Joliot in France, as well as Fermi and Szilard in America, that it may become possible to set up a nuclear chain reaction in a large mass of uranium, by which vast amounts of power and large quantities of new radium-like elements would be generated. Now it appears almost certain that this could be achieved in the immediate future. This new phenomenon would also lead to the construction of bombs, and it is conceivable, though much less certain, that extremely powerful bombs of a new type may thus be constructed. After his groundbreaking papers in 1905, Einstein's scientific reputation was established, but it was not until 1909 that he was offered a position at the University of Zurich that enabled him to leave the Swiss Patent Office. 2 years later, he moved to the German University in Prague, but he came back to Zurich in 1912, this time to the ETH. Despite the anti-Semitism that was common in much of Europe, even in the universities, he was now an academic hot property. Offers came in from Vienna and Utrecht, but he chose to accept a research position with the Prussian Academy of Sciences in Berlin, because it freed him from teaching duties. He moved to Berlin in April 1914 and was joined shortly after by his wife and two sons. The marriage had been in a bad way for some time, however, and his family soon returned to Zurich. Although he visited them occasionally, he and his wife were eventually divorced. Einstein later married his cousin Elsa, who lived in Berlin. The fact that he spent the war years as a bachelor, without domestic commitments, may be one reason why this period was so productive for him scientifically. Although the theory of relativity fitted well with the laws that governed electricity and magnetism, it was not compatible with Newton's law of gravity. This law said that if one changed the distribution of matter in one region of space, the change in the gravitational field would be felt instantaneously everywhere else in the universe. Not only would this mean one could send signals faster than light, something that was forbidden by relativity, in order to know what instantaneous meant, it also required the existence of absolute or universal time, which relativity had abolished in favor of personal time. Einstein was aware of this difficulty in 1907 while he was still at the patent office in Bern, but it was not until he was in Prague in 1911 that he began to think seriously about the problem. He realized that there's a close relationship between acceleration and a gravitational field. Someone inside a closed box, such as an elevator, could not tell whether the box was at rest in the Earth's gravitational field or was being accelerated by a rocket in free space. Of course, this was before the age of Star Trek, and so Einstein thought of people in elevators rather than spaceships. But one cannot accelerate or fall freely very far in an elevator before disaster strikes. If the Earth were flat, one could equally well say that the apple fell on Newton's head because of gravity, or because Newton and the surface of the Earth were accelerating upward. This equivalence between acceleration and gravity didn't seem to work for a round Earth, however. People on the opposite sides of the world would have to be accelerating in opposite directions, but staying at a constant distance from each other. But on his return to Zurich in 1912, Einstein had the brainwave of realizing that the equivalence would work if the geometry of space-time was curved and not flat, as had been assumed hitherto. His idea was that mass and energy would warp space-time in some manner yet to be determined. Objects such as apples or planets would try to move in straight lines through space-time, but their paths would appear to be bent by a gravitational field because space-time is curved. With the help of his friend Marcel Grossmann, Einstein studied the theory of curved spaces and surfaces that had been developed earlier by George Friedrich Riemann as a piece of abstract mathematics. Riemann had had no thought that it would be relevant to the real world. Einstein and Grossmann wrote a joint paper in 1913 in which they put forward the idea that what we think of as gravitational forces are just an expression of the fact that space-time is curved. However, because of a mistake by Einstein, who was quite human and fallible, they weren't able to find the equations that related the curvature of space-time to the mass and energy in it. Einstein continued to work on the problem in Berlin, undisturbed by domestic matters and largely unaffected by the war, until he finally found the right equations in November 1915. He had discussed his ideas with the mathematician David Hilbert during a visit to the University of Göttingen in the summer of 1915, and Hilbert independently found the same equations a few days before Einstein. Nevertheless, as Hilbert himself admitted, the credit for the new theory belonged to Einstein. It was his idea to relate gravity to the warping of space-time. It's a tribute to the civilized state of Germany at this period that such scientific discussions and exchanges could go on undisturbed even in wartime. It was a sharp contrast to the Nazis 20 years later. The new theory of curved space-time was called general relativity, to distinguish it from the original theory without gravity, which was now known as special relativity. It was confirmed in a spectacular fashion in 1919, when a British expedition to West Africa observed a slight bending of light passing near the sun during an eclipse. Here was direct evidence that space and time are warped, and it spurred the greatest change in our perception of the universe in which we live since Euclid wrote his Elements of Geometry around 300 BC. Einstein's general theory of relativity transformed space and time from a passive background in which events take place to active participants in the dynamics of the universe. This led to a great problem that remains at the forefront of physics in the 21st century. The universe is full of matter, and matter warps space-time in such a way that bodies fall together. Einstein found that his equations didn't have a solution that described a static universe unchanging in time. Rather than give up such an everlasting universe, which he and most other people believed in, he fudged the equations by adding a term called the cosmological constant, which warps space-time in the opposite sense, so that bodies move apart. The repulsive effect of the cosmological constant could balance the attractive effect of the matter, thus allowing a static solution for the universe. This was one of the great missed opportunities of theoretical physics. If Einstein had stuck with his original equations, he could have predicted that the universe must be either expanding or contracting. As it was, the possibility of a time-dependent universe wasn't taken seriously until observations in the 1920s by the 100-inch telescope on Mount Wilson. These observations revealed that the farther other galaxies are from us, the faster they're moving away. The universe is expanding, with the distance between any two galaxies steadily increasing with time. This discovery removed the need for a cosmological constant in order to have a static solution for the universe. Einstein later called the cosmological constant the greatest mistake of his life. However, it now seems that it may not have been a mistake after all. Recent observations, described in Chapter 3, suggest that there may indeed be a small cosmological constant.